anyone who has a cell phone do the needful? Put it on vibrate or off? So I'm going to start on time so we can end on time. You can all go to work tomorrow or school tomorrow. Lent. Okay. So one of the themes for this weekend, this visit, is continuing with visiting the islands of Navadvip and I think where I'll begin this is reminding you of something that's very important for this particular island that we visit. Some of you weren't here, so just refresh your memory. One of the slides of Navadvip shows a very beautiful scene, a morning scene with the sun just coming up and the mist still over the land, and very beautiful natural scene, everything green, like palm trees and a tropical West Bengal scene. And that the heading is Navadvip, the crest jewel of all holy places. So, I don't have the image in front of you on the screen, but I just described it, so hold that in your mind. Well, I explained something that's very important to understand who is Lord Chaitanya, and based on understanding who is Lord Chaitanya, get the volume a little bit. That's maximum, huh? So that we can understand who is Lord Chaitanya, by that understanding then, what is this place, the place of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? So, Lord Chaitanya, some persons in India today, or scholars, let's say the Encyclopedia Britannica, might consider Lord Chaitanya is a great saint or a renowned sannyasi. And certainly he's a great saint and a renowned sannyasi, but according to the scriptures and those biographers of his life, Lord Chaitanya is an incarnate. He's one of the. He appeared as the Yuga Avatar. What does that mean? Yuga Avatar. In each of the four Yugas, Satyug, Pratyug, Dwapayug, and Kaliyug, there's a particular most effective means for achieving spiritual perfection, Yuga Dharma. And the deliverer of that Yuga Dharma is the Yuga Avatar. Avatar means one who descends. So descending from the spiritual realm to this realm, forms of the Lord appear in this world generally at the beginning of each of the four yugas for the purpose of establishing the Yuga Dharma. So, Satya Yuga, the process for achieving spiritual perfection is meditation, right? Meditation. So, Lord Kapiladev, in a whitish form, with golden hair, appeared in Satya Yuga for teaching the process of meditation, and in Treta Yuga, the process is the most effective means for achieving spiritual perfection is right, the process of yajna. Makai, it says. The process of sacrifice. Formal sacrificial performances. And the form of the Lord who appeared at the beginning of Treta Yuga, of course, in different of the Yuga cycles, it's different forms of the Lord, but Yajna himself. Yajna means Vishnu, so form of Vishnu, who was reddish in color and carried in one hand a ladle and the other hand Arani wood for offering ghee into the fire and igniting the fire by mantra from Arani wood. He didn't carry the chakra and the gada. He carried Arani wood and the spoon for offering ghee into the fire. And the process for achieving spiritual perfection most recommended in Dwarpa Yuga is Archana, right, deity worship. So, in Kali Yuga, the form of the Lord, the process of the Lord most effective for achieving spiritual perfection is Sankirtan. Correct. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he appeared as the Yuga avatar. There are six categories of avatars. Who knows what those six categories of avatars is? Six categories of avatars. Give me one. Yuga avatar, right. Lila avatar is two. Purusha avatar is three. Guna avatar is four. Shaktivesha avatar is five. Manvantara avatar is six. There we go. Great. And you knew it all along. You're just being shy. So there's forms of the Lord that appear in this realm from the spiritual realm. They descend, avatar, they descend from the spiritual realm to this realm on behalf of the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, there's six questions asked by the sages of Naimisharanya to Sutta Goswami. One of those six questions is, please describe those forms of the Lord as they appear in this world. The avatars. So in Chapter 3, Canto 1, there's a one-verse description of some 26, 27, 28, some number of forms of the Lord. A short list, they say these days. And then more expanded description comes the rest of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So out of those listed, Sutta Goswami says, one amongst them is the source of all of them. One amongst them, he's appearing as an avatar, but he actually is the avatari, the source of all avatars. And in the language of the Bhagavatam, Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, Ete Changsa Kala Pungsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. That's the avatari. Now Krishna, is Krishna ever alone? Krishna is never alone. We used to have this term in the early days of ISKCON. You don't hear it these days, but Chakri will know. It's not bona fide, Prabhu. what the artists would do was they would show, because they were, their service to Prabhupada was to paint paintings about Krishna, and they didn't know how to paint paintings of Krishna, because what does Krishna look like? One devotee named Muralidhar, one of the most qualified artists that Prabhupada had, he told me a personal story. When Prabhupada was visiting in Boston, he was the art department one time was in Boston. I'll get to Lord Chaitanya in a minute. This is nice. He had a whole series of paintings, and he wanted to show them all to Prabhupada and ask Prabhupada which looks most like Krishna. Prabhupada looked at them all and said, they all are very nice. And that didn't satisfy him, so they talked about other things, and they asked him again. Same question, which looks most like Krishna? They're all very nice. Then he got very specific, said, but Prabhupada, it's my service to you to paint paintings of Krishna. How do I know what Krishna looks like? I need your help. You know what Krishna looks like. So then Prabhupada said, they all have. Krishna has a peacock feather. Krishna has a flute. Krishna's with his cows. Krishna's with the river Jamuna. Krishna's with the cowherd boys. Krishna's with Radharani. Krishna's in Vrindavan. And he has all these markings that are naturally Krishna. Beautiful lotus eyes, threefold bending form, tribhanga lalitam, shama sundaram. They're all Krishna. So Muralidhar got real emphatic. He said, supposing it's just a child picture, like a stick picture. Here's his legs, here's his arms, there's his torso, there's his flute, and there's his peacock feather, there's some cow, stick figure cow. Is that Krishna? Prabhupada said, that is also Krishna. So he didn't get the answer that he was hoping that he would get. But one of the things is, what was not bona fide, when they showed pictures of Krishna with his face in a cloud, maybe the artistic rendering was very, very attractive, but Prabhupada would say, that's not bona fide. Because Krishna is never alone. Krishna is never alone. And the direct expansion of Krishna's own pleasure potency, his Ladini Shakti, is Srimati Radharani. So there's a very nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita that teaches us, I'll just say it in English in simple manner, Radha and Krishna are eternally manifest as two forms, but actually are one entity, as much as the sun and the sunshine are one entity. That is to say, you don't find shine without sun, or sun without shine. They're inseparable. The energy and the energetic are inseparable. Radha and Krishna are actually one entity. Eternally manifest in two forms, but one entity. Energy and energetic are one entity. So then the verse describes when those two, energy and energetic, manifest one form, who is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauranga. Gauranga. Gaura, because his complexion is like that of Radha, golden. His limbs are golden, Gauranga. But he's Krishna himself. Not only his complexion, but his mood, his bhava, and his duty is that of Radha, but Naomi Krishna Swarupam, he's Krishna himself. So who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He's Krishna himself. Let's be very specific. There's expansions of Krishna, and there's Krishna himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an expansion of Krishna, he's Krishna himself. Takes a while to let that sink in, so I'll say it a couple more times. there's various expansions. Some are plenary expansions, some are partial expansions, some are expansions of those expansions, like Paramatma, the Purusha avatar. That's one of the six avatars. Supersoul, the Lord within our heart. That's Krishna. Krishna's in our heart. But it's an expansion of an expansion of Krishna, a portion of a plenary portion of Krishna in the, it's Kala in the Sanskrit language. It's like, in Sri Brahma Samhita, it's like having a candle, like on Diwali, you may light so many candles in the temple or in your home or some place where the Lord is being glorified and worshipped. From one candle, ceremoniously it's done this way, from a candle that's on the altar, another lamp, a lamp is lit, and the lamp, then there's a whole tree of lamps, and from those tree of lamps, so many lamps, and the whole temple room is filled with lamps. It's very beautiful. But one lamp is the original, and all the other lamps are lit from that original. The light given from each lamp is the same. 1 foot candle, as you know, in our eighth grade science class. But one is the original. And what is that original form of the Lord from which all other forms expand in performing different functions? That's Avatari, or Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, not one of the lamps lit from the original lamp. He's the original lamp. And that means, within the pastimes of Krishna and the abode of Krishna, all other opulences and loving exchanges with the devotees of the Lord are included within those pastimes of Krishna. All other abodes are within the abode of Krishna because everything is within Krishna. I'll give two examples from Krishna's pastimes. When Mother Jasoda gave birth to a daughter, later that daughter was switched. Krishna was brought by Vasudev and placed Krishna by the side of Mother Jasoda and took the daughter. And the daughter was taken to the prison house of Kamsa. And it was the daughter that Kamsa tried to kill, right? Read the commentary carefully in Srimad Bhagavatam, and according to one version of the Puranas, and our Acharyas are supporting that, actually, Mother Jasoda gave birth to twins. The firstborn was Krishna. The secondborn was the daughter. And when Vasudev came and brought Krishna, that Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, entered into the body of little child Krishna, and he took the small girl. Another example is in Dwarka. How many queens did Krishna marry? 16,108 queens. And how many palaces were there? One for each queen. 16,108 palaces. And these weren't like, you know, development homes. These were palaces. Palaces. 16,108 of them. And what happened when Krishna woke up in the morning? He performed his sadhana, he meditated upon the Supreme Lord. Well, he was the Supreme Lord. So he meditated upon himself. Ahanga upasana is described. And so some persons want to imitate. I should meditate upon myself each morning. But after Krishna did his morning duties, then what did he do? He went to the Sudharma Assembly Hall. And what happened? All 16,108 Krishnas merged into one Krishna. And he sat on the special throne along with Ugrasena to preside over the assembly. And after the assembly was over, what did he do? He expanded to 16,108 Krishnas and back to each of his palaces. Whoa. Who can do that? So within Krishna resides all other of the forms of the Lord, because they all expand from Him. And within Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, all of the expansions of the Lord reside with Him. And all the pastimes of the Lord that are performed in Vrindavan, it's the sum total and substance of all the pastimes of the Lord performed in any of the holy places. So we're going to hear about Godrumdweep, one of the islands in Navadweep, where a pastime of Krishna in Vrindavan parallels the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Godrumdweep, although they are separated by different yugas. So now you're all prepared to hear about Godrumdweep. Each of the nine islands, because Nava Dvipa means nine islands, Dvipa means island, Nava Dvipa, each of the nine islands corresponds with one of the nine processes of bhakti. Where do we hear about these nine processes of bhakti? Prahlad Maharaj. He described them or listed them for the benefit of his beloved father, Hiranyakashipu. And Godrumdweep corresponds with the process of what we just did, chanting, kirtanam. And it's from this position of Godrumdweep being the island of kirtanam that many wonderful pastimes of the Lord and His devotees took place here, and that's what we're going to be describing. There's Antardweep, and this is the river River Ganga. This is a tributary of the River Ganga called the Jalangi, and to get to Godrumdweep from where our temple's right in here somewhere, you can cross this way or you can go by boat and come around this way. And you end up at Godrumdweep. And there's some other places at Godrumdweep. This is where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house is. You'll see that shortly. Amgat will visit there. Suvarna Vihar will visit there. Lord Nrisingha's temple, Nrisinghapalli, will visit there. It's going to be a quick visit because everybody has to go to work or school tomorrow. But if this is a trailer, I guess, to encourage you to see the videos and hear the description in detail of these wonderful places. So the chanting of the holy name is predominant in the island of Godrumdweep. So here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with his associates, would come daily. They went throughout all the nine islands of Navadweep, but they particularly were fond of chanting in Godrumdweep. And with mridangas and kartals and horns and conch shells, the devotees would go from place to place performing the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord, just like Prabhupada had us do. This is one of my... I'm in this picture in the Boston Common, jumping in the air. But we would do this every day. The devotees would, at lunch hour, when everybody was milling around, go out on Harinam Sankirtan and chant the holy name, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the first place at Godrumdweep that we're going to visit is Surabhi Kunj. Surabhi Kunj is prior to our more modern history, it was the place where Lord Nityananda, on the order of Lord Chaitanya to establish the chanting of the holy name, he established this as the Nama Hatha headquarters. And in turn, Bhaktivinoda Thakur accepted that same position. From where, when you're on the veranda of the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this is the scene. you can see the dome of Srila Prabhupada's samadhi. Or maybe this is taken from a boat as when passing along the Jalangi. This painting is depicting Lord Nityananda's mercy upon the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, pictured here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was an initiated disciple of Lord Nityananda, and some particular incident took place where Krishnadas Kaviraj very strongly rebuked his brother for not accepting Lord Nityananda while accepting Lord Chaitanya. He gave the argument that's like the argument of half a hen. You like the end that distributes, that lays the golden egg, but you don't like the end that eats. Accepting half a hen makes no sense. So Lord Nityananda was very pleased with how strongly he spoke, appeared before him in a vision, and instructed him to go at once to Vrindavan and take shelter there of Rupa and Sanatan and become elevated in Krishna consciousness through their association. Lord Nityananda, by the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was given the whole of West Bengal, the whole of Bengal, to establish his purpose of coming in this world. And what was that purpose? The Yuga Dharma, chanting of the holy names of the Lord, delivering the pure holy name, and through the pure holy name, establishing everyone in the ecstatic state of love of God. This is a painting of another scene where in Panihati, also in West Bengal, there was a wonderful festival with another one of Lord Chaitanya's associates, Raghunath Das Goswami, where in an ecstatic kirtan, the kirtan was so wonderful that transcendentally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his form. He didn't walk there, didn't fly there. He just manifested himself there in the midst of the kirtan in such a way that only a few persons could actually see him. And Lord Nityananda, of course, was one of those that could see him. So Lord Nityananda made this place, Godrumdweep, his headquarters for establishing the chanting of the pure holy name in the whole of Bengal from this one headquarters place. And understanding that that was the case, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, pictured here, this is in one style of attire, his formal magistrate representative of the government of India, then the British government, taking his majestic role. And here is Bhaktivinoda Thakur as a sadhu, wearing simple cloth, simply chanting the holy names of the Lord in his home in Godrumdweep, where he first established his place of residence was here at Surabhi Kunj, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasati Thakur established a temple, as you see, Sri Sri Surabhi Kunj Math, because at this place, Surabhi Kunj, there's some very ancient history which I'm going to describe, where Mother Surabhi actually came and resided. This is the actual garden or resting place where Surabhi, there was a huge banyan tree that stretched all around this area, and Surabhi grazed underneath that large banyan tree. Here's the deities. Similar to our ISKCON altar, this is a Gaudiya Math altar. As you see on the one side is Lord Nrisimhadev and Panchatattva and deities of Radha and Krishna. Here's a close-up of the same altar. So, now remember my description that Krishna, Radha Krishna, is the avatari, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Radha and Krishna. During Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, as you know from this pastime, what amongst the young persons here, who'd like to say what's happening in this painting? Vignesh, what's happening? What's going on here?
Is that Lord Nityananda?
That's Krishna, because you see he's holding a flute.
Right.
That's a big elephant. Who has a big elephant?
Indra.
Okay. Guess who that is?
Indra.
That's Indra. There's his big elephant, Airavata. And who's this over here?
Surabhi,
right. There's Mr. Peacock. And what happened? Why did Indra come with Surabhi and Airavata before Krishna in Vrindavan? What was the circumstance? Yeah, what happened? Brief. What happened?
Govardhan, Krishna's, Nanda Maharaj was wanting to worship Lord Indra.
Yeah.
So Krishna stopped him from worshiping Lord Indra. So there was rain all, I don't know how long, but
7 days, 7 nights.
So Krishna kept everybody under the Govardhan Hill with his left pinky.
Yeah, left pinky, right. Then what happened? Indra realized, uh-oh, I've done it again. I've offended Krishna this time. So he came with Surabhi. Actually, he went to, when he realized, uh-oh, I've done it again, he went to his spiritual master. Who is the spiritual master of Indra? Who is the spiritual master of the demigods in the heavenly region? Brihaspati. So he went to Brihaspati and said, Brihaspati, what do I do now? You're my spiritual master, please help me. Brihaspati advised him, if you go to Krishna, who knows? You made such a big offense. It's not just you offended Krishna. You were ready to kill all the cows of Vrindavan and all the residents of Vrindavan, and the residents and the cows of Vrindavan are so dear to Krishna, you are prepared to kill them. You're in big trouble. If you go before Krishna, anything could happen. My recommendation is you go before Krishna to beg forgiveness with someone who is so dear to Krishna, just seeing that someone, immediately Krishna will become softened. And everybody knows, Krishna loves cows. So go find Surabhi. Go with Surabhi. And everything will be very nice. So as soon as Krishna saw Surabhi, he was very calm and peaceful. So here in this depiction, Airavata, very cleverly, he brought water from the celestial rivers along with his visit to Krishna in Vrindavan, and requested permission to bathe Krishna with the water that he had stored with the celestial waters from the heavenly regions. And Surabhi wanted to bathe Krishna with her milk, Abhishek. So Krishna got double Abhishek. Then Indra offered wonderful prayers to Krishna. Very beautiful prayers. And you know what happened after that? Indra again went to Brihaspati and said, what should I do? What should I do? Such a horrible offense. What atonement can be conducted for this terrible offense? Brihaspati advised Indra, there's a place in Navadvip, where Krishna will again appear in the next yuga. This is described in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. When Krishna appears in the next yuga, his form will be so beautiful and his qualities so amazing and his compassion so overwhelming that all the people of the age of Kali will derive the greatest possible fortune by receiving his mercy. I suggest that you go to Navadvip. Go with Surabhi and chant the holy names of the Lord with great devotion, and if the Lord is very pleased, you'll be forgiven. That is my recommendation. So he came to Navadvip. He went to Godrumdvip, and there he performed chanting with great enthusiasm and with great austerities. The Supreme Lord is very pleased by him and showed his form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before Lord Indra, forgave him for this offense, and sent him back to Indraloka. But Surabhi decided to stay. And that same Surabhi is described in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. You know this story, so I'm not going to narrate the full detail of it. But who is this floating in the water? Huh? Markandeya Rishi, right. Don't you recognize him? It's the ocean of devastation. Markandeya Rishi received a benediction from Lord Brahma that he would live for 7 kalpas. And you know how long a kalpa is? If somebody told you, you'll live a long life. May you live a long life. It's a nice benediction. But 7 kalpas, that's too long of a life. Because 1 kalpa is equal to 1 day of Brahma. And that's very nice. But there's also the night of Brahma. And during the night of Brahma, there's a partial devastation. Up to and including Bhu, Bhuvar, and Svargalokas, they're completely inundated with water. There's a flood. And everything is submerged in water. There's no land to stand on. So Markandeya Rishi, during that night of Brahma, it was very problematic. The benediction turned into be a nightmare. Huge waves and nothing to eat and no ability to go to sleep and what do you do? And just, he was a good swimmer, but it just was too much. He became unconscious in the midst of the ocean of devastation. And when he woke up, this is what he saw. He saw this banyan tree, huge banyan tree, underneath which there was a large banyan leaf and a small blue baby lying on his back. You've seen this picture in different depictions. And he playfully lifted his left foot, raised his left foot to his mouth and started sucking on his big toe. And smiled at Markandeya Rishi, who wondered, what's this? Where am I? And who is this amazingly attractive young child? Just at that moment, the child looked right at Markandeya Rishi and inhaled. And Markandeya Rishi went flying through the air and entered into the mouth of that small child and into his belly. And within his belly he saw the whole cosmic manifestation, just like Mother Jasoda saw within the mouth of Krishna. Because everything rests within the body of the Supreme Lord. Skipping the detail, he then exhaled. And there he was in the ocean of devastation again. Mother Surabhi came by the side of that island because that island, oh yes, very important. During the cosmic annihilation, the spiritual realm is not destroyed. Right? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, at the time of annihilation, that place which is my abode is not destroyed because it's eternal. So the abode of the Lord is not destroyed. It's not subject to these affairs of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. So Navadvip was remaining, and Surabhi was on that island. So she came and gave some of her milk to Markandeya Rishi to revive him. And after receiving the milk of Surabhi and being able to rest on that island, he then could understand. He heard from her, what is this place? This is a place where the Lord is going to appear in the next yuga, in Kali Yuga. And so, Surabhi, Markandeya Rishi, performed austerities for a very long time at that place. It is said that that huge banyan tree, after some time, disappeared. So what we saw that photograph of is that place where that huge banyan tree where Surabhi was, and the kunj where Surabhi remained is Surabhi Kunj. And it's this place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur kept as his residence, because it was also the same place where Lord Nityananda made as his headquarters for the Namahatta, or the congregational chanting of the holy name amongst all the villages in Bengal. That was his headquarters. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur lived there while he was having his own home built, and his home is what we're now going to visit. Svananda Sukada Kunj is the name that he gave. It's very near, just maybe a couple hundred yards, something like that, a few hundred yards from Surabhi Kunj. This is his bhajan kutir and home, and his samadhi, and also the bhajan kutir of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. So if we had like 4 hours, I would take half of it to describe the glories of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but we don't. But his glories are very, very wonderful. Included in his glories are, he, in addition to raising 10 children, some of you have 1 child or 2 children, 3 children. Imagine having 10 children. And he was a high court judge, so he had not only duties that were very intense, and one might call it these days stressful, but he had many social obligations being a government officer. He had to meet with so many people. Yet he wrote 100 books. Ever write a book? Ever write a paper for school? You know how long it takes you to write a paper for school? Imagine writing a book. Imagine writing 100 books. In addition to having 10 children and a government post and chanting your rounds and attending Mangalarti and offering all your, you know, just doing all those things. And he had 200 namahattas. You know, we have our little bhakti vriksha, and that takes some time, right? 200 namahattas. And some of those namahattas were people that didn't read or write. So he had to write songs that explained the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that people could learn the songs. And by learning the songs, they could learn the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So some of his writing was songs in Bengali to teach people, but some of his other writings were in Sanskrit, like, you know, sutras, Amnaya Sutra, like very terse, tight, philosophical statements in Pakha Sanskrit. Some of his writings were novels. Some of his writings were commentaries. What to speak of all the translation work of the writings of other acharyas that he published that weren't his own writings. Plus, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the vision of establishing places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Mayapur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the vision of establishing a worldwide association of devotees of Lord Chaitanya when people didn't even know who was Lord Chaitanya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur envisioned the whole of Mayapur, a whole of Navadvip becoming a, once again, as it was during Lord Chaitanya's time, a place of high learning, when people from all over the world would come to learn the scriptures, when during his time was rice paddies. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was like out of sight. He was up there, way up there, a luminary, very, very powerful. He became so absorbed in the chanting of the holy name during a period of his life for 2.5 years. He entered a bhajan kutir and didn't come out. Just chanted the holy name with intensity night and day. In addition to all these other things that he did. So he describes in one of his sets of writings, Gita Mala, "My small cottage is shining beautifully within that most enchanting garden called Svananda Sukhada Kunj. Living there, I will sing Lord Krishna's holy name, and I will greedily hanker for that time when I will get the service of him and his associates." Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such an important person to the British government. You see this little narrow gauge railroad track right here? They built it for him. Because his home was where he wanted it to be, but his office was in Krishnanagar. And they didn't have this nice road, so they built a train so he could travel from his home to Krishnanagar to go to work and come back at night. And it's still an operative train track. And that's the gate to his home. And there's his home. There's the gate. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Kutir. This is the veranda where we see some of our devotees. So you can go inside and upstairs and they still maintain all the paraphernalia. We'll see some pictures. This is not the newest version, but this is one of the versions of the temple that from that veranda you can see where the temple will be. Actually, when the temple is built, this is the temple of Sridhar Mayapur. You'll be able to see the dome from Calcutta. It's a 2.5 hour drive, but it's so tall. Standing in the ground in Calcutta, if you don't have buildings in the way, you'll be able to see the dome. This is one of the designs lit up at night. And the river Ganga, that's how big Prabhupada Samadhi is. That's just one of the little side... pieces. This is the murti of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where when he left his body, he was placed to rest in samadhi here. And it's 13 minutes after 3. The clock behind him. Hare Krishna. It's a very sacred place for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas to come and worship. Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, a very wonderful associate of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, was rendered service to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and later became part of Bhaktisiddhanta's Gaudiya Math, a very wonderful Vaishnav. On the back side of his samadhi are Gaur Gadadhar deities. There you see them from a distance as you're standing by the platform, and this is a close-up of Gaur Gadadhar. And we worship Gaur Nitai, that was as also established by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but by his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, worshipped Gaur Gadadhar. And here they are again in another nice outfit with nice garlands. This is the home of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he physically lived and stayed and kept his books in his bookshelf and took rest and had his desk where he did his work. This is the bed where he rested. This is an interesting thing. Before there were electric fans, Bhaktivinoda Thakur designed a fan that would work from, this is a little kerosene thing, and as the steam would come up or the heat would come up, it would somehow make the fan turn and that he could stay cool just by his own device. Cool. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would sometimes stay with his father. This is his bed. And this is the kirtan hall. This is where the samadhi is. And the kirtan hall before the samadhi. Right over here, this is Tulsi Devi. And over here is where Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj had his bhajan kutir. This is from the side, this is from the front. He would come, although he was a strict renunciate and a deeply renounced personality, he would come and hear from this householder who had 10 children speaking the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, because his speaking was so deep and profound. And here, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj would sometimes stay in a very simple setting. Because of time, it's now 20 after 8, so I'm just going to go through the rest of what's here very quickly, although it's hard to do that. There's another place in Godrumdweep called Hari Hara Kshetra. This is a temple where the deity of Vishnu and Shiva are together, indicating that Sadashiva, in his position in the spiritual realm, is not different than Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu is not different than Lord Shiva. Although in this material realm, there is difference. And then there's a... The area is called... is the same as Mahakashi. You know where Mahakashi is. There's a detailed description. I was going to ask one of the children if they could recite for us that pastime with Krishna, where Lord... anyway, there was an encounter wherein Lord Shiva... I won't do it because of time. This is the temple. And at the top, you see there's two domes. And we'll take a closer look at the two domes. Look at that. One's a chakra and the other is a trishula, indicating that beneath is the deity both of Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And look at that. Harihara. Hari on one side and Hara on the other side. And Lakshmi on this side and Parvati on this side. And this is a very unique Shivalinga. Forget his name. Here's the footprint. As in Kashi, there's a footprint of Lord Vishnu. So here's the footprint of Lord Vishnu in Mahakashi. And look at this. In the front is a goddess of chicken pox, Sitala Devi. Sitala Devi is worshipped by some because she, by her benediction, the children in one's family will not get chicken pox. So they worship Sita the Devi. This is a brief description of that pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam. There was a king of Kashi, Kashi Raj, and his associate who thought he was Lord Vishnu, and he challenged Lord Vishnu, challenged Krishna, please stop imitating yourself as being Bhagavan or I'll come and destroy you. Anyway, long story. Krishna and Lord Shiva had combat, and in that combat, Lord Shiva was accepting the supremacy of the personality of God. He was protecting his devotee, but he ended up accepting the supremacy of Krishna. Here's the footprint of Gadadhar Vishnu, the Lord Vishnu who carries the Gada. In this area of this temple, there are ruins of very, 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 very ancient temples. In those very ancient temples, when they dug and excavated, they found murtis of demigods. Like there's a murti of Ganesh. There's a murti of Dattatreya. There's a murti of Hanuman. And I don't know who that is. But they were found within the midst of these ruins back here. Old temples. So in order to respect those devatas, they're placed in the sanctity of the temple area, but not on the main altar. And from Harihar Kshetra, I'll just show the pictures and maybe we'll do something with the rest of the narration that I'm missing. There's a pathway, as you see, leading to a tributary of the Ganga, Alakananda River, and it's a very peaceful setting where pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were performed. A little shed for taking care of the cows. There's one of the local residents very peacefully enjoy being on camera. Also in Godrumdweep is the palace of King Suvarna Sen. King Suvarna Sen was a king during Satya Yuga. And as a king during Satya Yuga, during the tour that Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami through all the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he brought Jiva Goswami, and there were others. Shivananda Sen was also with him, and Srivas Thakur was with him, and they saw this place where King Suvarna Sen had lived. This is the entrance of the temple. It's now a Gaudiya Math temple. When I first went there, it was looking like this. It was a very, very simple place with natural beauty surrounding it. When they were excavating the foundation for this temple, this is the deity. They found these relics of some of the pillars from King Suvarna Sen's palace from Satya Yuga. Just, because when you approach this place, it's up on a hill. It's up on a hill because before it was a palace, and just earth covered the palace over long periods of time. But the stone columns and parts of the palace were beneath. There's a nice story of how Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur discovered it. But in short, it wasn't like, you know, a guide came along and told them, oh, by the way, over there is where King Suvarnasain was. By spiritual realization, somehow, by prompt from Supersoul, somehow he came to know that was the place where Suvarnasain resided. And he requested his followers to buy that land. He didn't tell them why. After they bought it, there's an interesting story with that too, but after they bought it, he then indicated why he wanted it. This is the place where King Suvarnasain resided, and he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a great devotee, but being very distant from the place where later on Krishna would perform his pastimes, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed himself to King Suvarnasain and told him that when I appear in this very place, you will appear as my devotee. And that devotee was Buddhimanta Khan. He's the one who arranged for the marriage of, or paid for, all the lavish wedding of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vishnupriya, as a king might do for a brahmana within his kingdom. That was the rasa. So these are the previous deities when they had the simple temple. Since then, they now have these deities, Radha Krishna and Mahaprabhu by their side. Very beautiful deities. Here's a close-up again. And this is the temple itself. The relics, as they say, visit the holy stone of the golden age. Anyway, they're worshipping of Tulsi Devi. Again, this picture is depicting the tour of the Lord Chaitanya's holy places that Lord Nityananda took Jiva Goswami. Here's a painting of Narada Muni instructing King Suvarnasain. King Suvarnasain, a little of the Leela. Suvarnasain was a devotee, but he had some mix with karmakanda, intention. So Narada Muni came and paid him a visit, relieved him of those the interest in material advancement, and taught him the principles of pure devotion. And by the principles of pure devotion that were taught to Suvarnasain, he became pure, and he developed ecstatic love for Krishna, and Lord Chaitanya then showed himself to him and said, "When I will appear later in Kali Yuga, and you will be my devotee in my pastimes." This is a painting to indicate how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by his spiritual quality, he was able to understand this is the place, although it was just a mound in the middle of a jungle. Our last place of visit, again it'll be short, but it's a very, very nice place. You can see just from the photograph here, very peaceful place. It's the, after Lord Nrisimhadev destroyed Hiranyakashipu, he came here to Nrisimhapalli and washed his hands within the tributary of the Ganga that was here at this time. Now it later dried, the whole river dried, now it's existing as a lake. Mandakini River was that tributary of the Ganga before. A very peaceful, beautiful setting. And here's the tree that's right by the side of the temple. Have you ever seen a tree that looks quite like this, where the branches look like intestines? Well, that's the entrails of Hiranyakashipu being pulled out of his abdomen by Lord Nrisimhadev. And the tree is taking on that mood. here's the deity, very, very, very old deity of Lord Nrisimhadeva. So old it's hard to see his features, but here's his two arms coming down. He's seated, and on his lap is Hiranyakashipu. There's the face of the deity, and close-up of the body of the deity. There's our friend Hiranyakashipu on his lap, and the feet of the deity. Nice worship goes on regularly, and it's a fantastic place for kirtan. This you can see the form of the deity better. There's his hands, there's the body, across his lap. And there's another place, last place, where Lord Chaitanya and his associates would have, as they were doing kirtan one time, there were 200 devotees, and they suddenly became very hungry. And they let Lord Chaitanya know, we're very hungry. So he took a mango seed, pushed the mango seed into the ground, and from the ground at once sprung a mango tree that had unlimited numbers of mango fruits on it, like at once. And they were very special mango fruits. They had no skin and no seed. It was all pulp. So he personally plucked the mangoes, skinless mangoes, one each to the devotees, and by eating one mango, they were fully satisfied. And they came back there every day for 1 year. And throughout the whole year, there's mango season, but throughout the whole year, the tree supplied mangoes. And after 1 year, the tree vanished. This is that place, Amghat. It's a stop on the railroad train that goes from Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house to Krishnanagar. This is the mango grove that's there today. Amghat. A very honored place by the local people. Right in Godrumdweep. So these are some of the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic pastimes as he led kirtan throughout the whole of the nine islands of Navadweep. And particularly Godrumdweep is honored for that. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nice painting, huh? Okay, lights. Okay. Any questions or comments, anyone? You like?
Then we have detailed descriptions.
Detailed descriptions. Another time. But it's a Thursday evening and it's 25 to 9. Maybe sometime during this weekend I'll describe a little bit more. Anything? Yes.
Maharaj, I heard that Narasimhadev, after killing Hiranyakashipu, he went to Mangalgiri, like where we have the Panakal Narasimhaswamy.
Yeah.
Where he drank that Panakal.
Right. Well, as I mentioned, Krishna is the avatari, and the abode of Krishna includes all the abodes of all the holy places, as does Navadvip, because they're non-different. So, that pastime of the Lord that was performed at Mangalagiri is included, or you can say like the embassy, is also in Navadvip. It's something like this. Prabhupada gave this example. He gave two examples at different times. One is that a nation may have an embassy. So let's say the Indian embassy. There's an Indian embassy in Chicago, there's an Indian embassy in New York. Legally, it's India. Although it's New York and Chicago. But the laws of India apply. If you break the law, you're subject to Indian law enforcement in that particular patch of land. So as governments work that way, so the Supreme Lord, or the other way around, as Krishna works, the governments also work. The places of the Lord's pastimes may be various. He gave the example also, a wealthy man. He may not have just one home. He may have multiple homes. And this place, that place, and that place. I mean, Hinduja has a bunch of homes. Wherever he goes to do his business, he's got this home, that home. So Krishna has, the Supreme Lord has different homes, different places of pastimes, and for him they're non-different, they're interchangeable. So the Leela at Mangalagiri and the Leela at Navadvip manifest differently, but spiritually the mood is the same, and it's already included, so to speak. So one, it's not, you know, either or. Is that clear? Anybody want to pursue that one a little bit? That we're okay. Anything else? Yes?
Good morning, and now. Mayapur, you encouraged us as grahasthas to carefully study the life and teachings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now, what reference, where can, or which literature would you recommend that we do that with?
Well, Neha took that up. You just ask Neha. Qatar. You can start with, there's the biography that Rupa Vilas wrote. Then there's another one that, forgetting his name. Speak with Neha. There's at least two biographies that are readily available, and then there's other things. There's a long autobiography, his life as he describes it to his son. Lalit Prasad. It was actually a letter to him, but it ended up being an autobiography. That's another very important reference. Start with that. It'll keep you busy for a couple of years. Anything else?
Maharaj, this is not a... belongs to the Sodru Madhip. This is a question of the Rahulandan's father, Mukunda.
Yeah.
Mukunda. Is he his brother of Vasudev Datta or...
No. Yes. Yes, they're brothers. Narahari and Mukunda are brothers. Vasudev Datta is a friend, but not a brother. Their last name was Sarkar. Narahari Sarkar. And Mukunda Sarkar. But because he was a royal physician, he was given another title. But his surname was Sarkar. And Mukunda Datta is different. There's Mukunda the physician, there's Mukunda Datta. They're different. There's Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta. They're brothers. Is that all right? Are we clear now?
Yes, ma'am. Because in the lecture when I was hearing, I was kind of... because they go and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vasudev Datta and Mukunda Datta. So in that time, Mahaprabhu was asking Mukunda, like, who is the...
Yeah, but that's a... Either I didn't explain it properly or you didn't hear it properly. But they're two different Mukundas. The Mukunda that Lord Chaitanya was asking, who is the father? It's Mukunda, the physician, Mukunda Sarkar, and his son was Raghunandan.
And then the next one, I heard this one also, so I was kind of...
Either I said it wrong or you heard it wrong.
I heard it in both the times, so...
And then I said it wrong.
Sorry, I mean, I'm not clear about that.
Okay, I'm not either. I don't know what I said, but I'm clear about whose brothers is who. Narahari Sarkar and Mukunda Sarkar are brothers. Mukunda Datta and Vasudev Datta, and there was another brother. They lived elsewhere.
They moved from Bangladesh to... They moved from Bangladesh to...
Yeah. They lived in Mamgachi. That's a part of Navadvip itself. And in a different town altogether, some far distance from Navadvip, is where Narahari and Mukunda Sarkar and Raghunandan lived. Srikanda, it's some distance away. Okay. Something? Yes?
Krishna would be various colors of Krishna and various other things. Red, black, and...
Yeah. So you want to know more about that?
And this red and white is not very common.
Well, they're... According to what's his name again? The person that did the name giving ceremony for Krishna, Gargamuni. There's a verse in which Gargamuni or Gargarishi speaks, where he says the Yuga avatars. He didn't use the term yoga avatars, but they're yoga avatars. They're four different colors. Shukla, Rakta, Tata Pita. So that's, the reddish form is, you're right, it's not so common. But like, the Lord Varaha, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, there's at least two Lord Varahas, and one of his Shukla Varaha, and another is Rakta Varaha. So, however common or not common they are, that's some are red and some are white. And some are Pita or Gora, yellowish or golden. So the Lord is identified, not that he has to be of any particular color, he can, whatever he likes, but for... according to scripture, he assumes different forms of different complexions according to, you know, the form of the Lord that he's manifesting at that time. Kapila Dev was milkish in color with golden hair. So that's not common. Anyone else? Shaniti, do you have a question? You usually have really good questions. You think of one later. Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.